Our scripture reading this morning, chosen by our speaker, Noah Bailey, is from Isaiah chapter 58. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right, and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will answer, and the Lord. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundation. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. This morning, has been mentioned, is our theme is on supporting the local community. Our speaker is Noah Bailey. Noah is a 2006 grad of Geneva, majoring in pre-seminary and history. He married Lydia, his high school sweetheart, in 2005. They have a two-month-old daughter, Katie, who is with them. Among other interesting things, Noah and Lydia spent a semester in Scotland, and during his senior year, he was involved in the local community, serving as one of the students in service to the local community. Noah?
All right, am I mic'd up here? All right, sounds good. First, I want to say is I am Noah Bailey, not Noah Finley. I've heard about a half a dozen people this morning talking about that RA who's going to speak to you this morning. Sorry, I graduated and was never an RA. I want us to consider, first and foremost this morning, not the passage in front of us, but a thought of our experiences that we have here in chapel, that we have in church, and that we have in classrooms. I've had this experience, so I assume you have as well. You go to a class, you go to church, you go to chapel, and the speaker is full of life and energy. He waves his arms fantastically, pounds on things, I don't want to break anything, and really stirs your spirit. He excites you. He's full of energy and passion, and you're excited by it. And you go home, and you're like, this is great. His message was so powerful. And then you stop and you go, oh yeah, what was he saying again? There was life and there was energy, but there wasn't clarity. I think often, when we speak to people, when we address these crowds as a speaker, we often forget to just hone in. What's the main point? Dr. Haas could explain this rhetorical feature a little better than I could, but I'm inventing a word called bookending. I think a key part to public address is to bookend your main point. So I'm going to attempt this innovative way of rhetoric and say, let's bookend the main point. So this is the main point. Isaiah 58 says to you, when you come and you humble yourself before me, don't forget the needy. When you come and you worship me, don't forget the oppressed. When you come and offer me worship, don't think that your worship can neglect the people who are not in your church. When you gather at Geneva College to worship God, to feel His Spirit in your midst, to hear the Word opened, don't think that the experience between you and God is just enough. The Christian faith is more than just you and God. It has to do with every brother and sister sitting next to you in this room, and it has to do with every human being down that hill and surrounding this campus. Your calling to Geneva College consists of 4 years of loving your neighbor. So the main point of Isaiah 58 is that you cannot love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength without loving your neighbor as yourself. The two commands go together. The whole law, he says, hangs from these two commands. Beloved, to express your love for God in worship, in faithful service to your calling, is not enough. You must love your neighbor as yourself as an expression of your love for God. And I want to consider this morning, not primarily Isaiah 58. I don't want to dig through the exegesis of that passage. I want to tell you a story. A story that's going to be familiar to some. A story that many of you may not know. It's the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man called by God in the Old Testament. A man called by the Spirit of God to build Jerusalem. He was a cupbearer to the king Artaxerxes in Persia. Now, a cupbearer wasn't just the guy that brings wine to the king so the king can get drunk. That's not just what he does. The cupbearer was the chief of security. The cupbearer was responsible for the king's personal protection. So he had a position of integrity where he needed to be trusted. But he also had a position of incredible stress. Because guess what happens? The king gets the flu, and he thinks he's been poisoned. Guess where Nehemiah's head is? He's done. See, Nehemiah has to be a man attentive to detail, under a great deal of duress. And yet in Nehemiah 1, when he's thinking about all these things he has to be about the business of doing, he learns about Jerusalem in distress and ruin. He learns that Jerusalem, his city, is in ruin. There is injustice. There is oppression. And the walls, the glory of the city, is broken down. And what is Nehemiah's response? He weeps. He has a passion for the city of Jerusalem. When was the last time you had passion, real passion, and for something other than the Steelers? Like passion and fire for the kingdom of God. Not for just worship. See, having passion in worship is great and you need it because God has required everything of you in worship. But you have to love your neighbor as yourself. And to just have passion for God and not passion for your neighbor doesn't end it. That's not the sum total of the Christian life. The Christian life needs to be passion for God and a resulting passion for your neighbor. Weep for your city. You may not love all that there is to Beaver Falls. I'm sure Nehemiah did not love all there was of Jerusalem. But he loved Jerusalem not as where it was, but what it could be. He loved the vision and the glory of a Jerusalem filled with the love of Christ. Do you see Beaver Falls that way? Do you weep because Beaver Falls is not a city filled with the love of Christ? Do you weep because the glory of this city has departed, because the gospel does not reign here? Do you have that passion for your city? But there's more to it than just having this great vision. Nehemiah's story goes on. He goes to his king and he asks for two things. He asks for the time to go build the city, and he asks for the resources. We'll get back to that in a minute. But the other thing he does is he goes up and he faces great opposition in rebuilding the city. He's putting the stones together, he's building the walls, and there's great opposition. And in the opposition, he responds, "Why would I come down and be bothered with you? I am doing a great work." And he puts his hand to the task and he does his great work. But beloved, he does come down once. In Nehemiah 5, he comes down from his great work. Why? Because the poor were being oppressed. Because the nobles were exacting usury. They were charging them unfair prices. Because the poor and the widow and the orphan were being neglected. He puts his great work on hold to care for the neglected. He knows it's a great work. It is a great work. But he will put his great work on hold for the people of this city. It's not just about the glory of Beaver Falls, not just about the vision of a city. It's about the people in that city. It's about loving and having compassion. You have to have the passion for the city, but you have to have compassion on the people of the city. You are in a great work. Geneva College drives it at you. You have a high calling in Christ, whether it's science or English or math or biblical studies, or whatever field, you have a high calling, a great work. And your responsibility here at Geneva College is to build that great work, is to train and to study, to be equipped for that great work. But beloved, please, shame on you if you think your 4 years can pass without pausing from your great work to look after the injustice in the city. You have a very short period of time in Beaver Falls. And if you spend it on just your great work, doesn't that seem selfish? Isn't the vision of the kingdom of God more than just building your calling? Believe me, don't misunderstand me. You have a calling. Fulfill your calling. But your calling is more than just getting into an office, getting into a paycheck. And you will never learn that unless you begin practicing it now. So please hear me. Have compassion on the people of Beaver Falls. Have a passion for this city, a passion to see this city full of the light of the gospel. But also have a compassion to love the people, to love the neighbors around you, because they are your neighbors. You are here. Like Nehemiah, love the people in Beaver Falls. How? I mean, this is the tough question, isn't it? If you're at Geneva College, I assume you have no money. If you're at Geneva College, I assume you have very little time. If you don't have time and money, how do you do anything? I mean, those are kind of the basis of any activity, right? What does Nehemiah do? Return to Nehemiah 2. Nehemiah doesn't have the time. He has a very busy, stressful job. He doesn't have the resources. He's probably very wealthy, but not wealthy enough to build a city. Where does he go? He goes to the king and he says, "Give me the time off. Give me the time I need to do this. And give me the resources." And because the favor of God is upon Nehemiah, the king grants his request. Well, I have a parallel for you today. It's called students in service. You don't have to provide the resources you don't have. Geneva College and Students and Services have done that. They're doing their homework. They're providing the opportunities for you to go out. They're providing the resources you need to get it done. You know what you need to provide? What Nehemiah provided. Himself. He went with his own hands. You don't think he could have picked any number of Jews to send? You don't think he could have picked any number of Persians to send? No, he went himself. Sending a liaison wasn't good enough. He had a passion for that city, and he had compassion on that people. And so he had to go. And beloved, you have to go. Join with SIS. There is a vision here at Geneva College to be something greater than just an educational system, to be something greater than just the training of hearts and minds. It's putting those hearts and minds in use. And beloved, Beaver, filled with justice and truth. Lastly, I want to drive this right home. Isaiah makes it plain, does it not? The main point. You cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength unless you love your neighbor as yourself. If you do not love your neighbor as yourself, then I have to ask. With tears, I have to ask. Do you love Christ? Because it was Christ who said in Matthew 25, "For the least of these that you have done this, you have done it for me." He has said that your love and your care for the people of Beaver Falls is an expression of your love for him. Do not let your 4 years at Geneva College be consumed with thinking your relationship with God is just you and God. It's not. It has to be more than that. Your relationship with God has to include the other people. Do you love Christ? If you love him, love your neighbor. If you do not love him, repent and turn to him. Let's bow our hearts and our minds in prayer with hearts filled with love of Christ and love of neighbor. Our precious Heavenly Father, forgive us our many sins. Forgive us the sin of silence. Forgive us the sin of not loving neighbors or Christ as he has commanded us. But give us strength, Father. Renew within us the fire that we had. Renew within us that spirit and that vision that says, Christ will reign. He is king, and I will be his soldier, faithful to see his kingdom come in glory. Father, I pray for these young people. Give them a vision and a passion for Beaver Falls, a love of the people in Beaver Falls. Stir their hearts by the power of your Spirit and move with might that the Geneva College would be a stalwart cornerstone building the kingdom of God in Beaver Falls and Western Pennsylvania. Stir their hearts, I pray, by the power of your Spirit, for it is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.